Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight of the Starlight Campbell Band.
Welcome to the Superturn Show.
Forgotten.
Hey, hey, my, my, Into the Black from the album Weld, which is live, basically, by Neil Young. And that was released in 1991.
Guitar sound. That's all I've got to say about that. That amp is turned up to the max. And it sounds like it's a monster set of amps, but it's not. It's a little, it's a tiny Tweed Deluxe. That's what it is. It's about, you know, 18 inches square on the face of it with one 12-inch speaker. We've got one. I used it on a lot of Blueberry Pie. But when you turn it up, it sounds like that.
Sounds like the bowels of hell being distorted, like
the speaker's
crazy shit.
Actually stopping during that performance. You can hear it going, you know. It's unbelievable. And what I love about Neil Young as well, he's got this pedal board at the front of the stage. And what it does when you press buttons, it actually has motors that turn the actual knobs on the amp.
No.
Oh, yes. No MIDI here. We're talking absolute just knob-turning shit. Incredible. And what an incredible atmosphere that creates. You know, what I don't like about it, I don't like the drum sound. I think it's very clinical because it's been done live and it's kind of been taken from the live console, and it's, you know, the snare drum is very overcompressed and stuff. But the guitar and the feel of the song is magnificent.
That's how I, that song to me is Neil Young at his best, when he's at his most maverick. And when you feel that he doesn't give a damn, that's when I know he cares the most. Because to me, as a musician performer, when he lets go, it's because he cares that much, that he goes to those places that not many people go to.
Well, that's right. And this whole album was supporting Ragged Glory, which is an incredible album. Mm. It is one of his, to me, it's one of his best ones. I just love that album.
Yeah.
Every track.
That was his 18th studio album, Ragged.
18? I know. Holy shit. And this is like years ago. I mean, he must be on, what, 40 now? I don't know. But anyway, he's done a whole lot of shit.
Well, what was really interesting about this is that originally it was released as a three-disc set called Arc Weld. And the arc portion was a single disc consisting entirely of a sound collage of guitar noise and feedback.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've got to say I did listen to about 25 seconds of it.
Really?
But it was, oh, yeah. And when I went to see him in Newcastle with our son, Joe,
yeah,
there was a point where he just did about 5 minutes of feedback, and there were all these guys there that were like 50-odd, 60, and they were really looking like they were into it, but they hadn't got a clue what was going on, to tell you the truth. They were stood there sort of thinking, yeah, this is really cool, but they were thinking, what's happening here? And he's going, you know, woo! It's incredible. And he stands there, and but he can do it. And what I love about Neil Young, I absolutely adore about him, is that one minute he'll do this, and next minute he'll get in front of a piano or a harmonium or an acoustic guitar, and he'll do some really sensitive song that has got such emotion in it, it grips you. And then next minute he gets that bloody Les Paul on, and he creates all that racket. And it is a racket. And people tell me, you know, I had somebody come up to me the other day when we were playing, and they said, well, what do you think about Neil Young? And I said, I think he's fantastic. Well, I think he's crap because he can't play guitar. I said, well, listen, you need to go back and just listen to that stuff, because his solos are melodic and they might have a lot of crunch in him, a lot of stuff, but he does think about what he's playing, unlike a lot of electric guitar players who just sort of basically masturbate.
Take a free ride, take my place, have my
The Moody Blues' Ride My Seesaw released as a single from the third album In Search of a Lost Chord. And what is the chord? We don't know. It's lost. Indeed.
And then layered on top of that.
Well, the Moody Blues is all about reverb. Big reverb on those vocals.
Really?
Oh, sugar, yeah. It's masses of it. He's got reverb, and then he's added extra reverb. And it was Tony Clark. He was the producer. He was known as the other member of the Moody Blues. Magnificent producer. Great song. Really great song.
That was released in 1968. So you've got the album released in July, and they released that as a single later on, a couple of months later, in October on the Derham label. Now, that's a concept album. It was based around the broad theme of quest and discovery. So Ride My Seesaw, apparently, is about knowledge in a changing world. And it's odd, because while I was listening to that song, I just looked up the lyrics, and it's like, they're like, left school with a first-class pass, started work, but a second-class, school taught one and one is two, but right now, that answer just ain't true. And because sometimes for me it's about the music, and other times I really like to look into the lyrics, because I always think they're just layers of the onion, and some people I know like to go with the groove and the melody, and then later on, somehow the lyrics seep in underneath the skin and they get to get another depth of the song with the lyrics and stuff. Oh, and do you know what? I just want to say before we move on to this, that, you know, I forgot to mention about lyrics. We're talking about lyrics with Neil Young.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, well, with the song we've just played, which is Hey Hey My My Into the Black, well, I read, it's really quite moving, really, but there was a line from the acoustic version of that song, it's better to burn out than to fade away. And it became infamous because Kurt Cobain cited that in his suicide note. And then years later, Neil Young said that he was so shaken that he dedicated his 1994 album Sleeps With Angels to Kurt Cobain.
That's a great album. And we're going to play some stuff.
I feel a bit emotional
off.
Talking about that, because it's like, whoa.
Yeah. And that album also was like inspired by Devo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Playing a bit later on the show, because it's like, you know, he was feeling irrelevant at this time.
Yeah.
And that big thing he did was just incredible. Anyway, I mean, but yes, I'm glad you've put that in accent, because it's very important. But back to the Moody Blues.
Yeah. That was written by John Lodge, okay. And it's one of his signature high-energy rock and roll songs. The other one was I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band.
Great song.
Love that song.
Yeah. But great guitar line. Down. <Ba-ba-da-da-da>. Fuzz. It's fuzz again. More fuzz guitar. Great.
Sometimes when I think about this show, I just think, oh, I love to tell the stories. And other times I just think, oh, it'd be nice just to chat about the music, you know, because with the Moodies, every song we play from them, and as we play other artists in the show, as we progress on, sometimes I like the stories, and sometimes I like the music, you know? I like the way it makes me feel. I like to know that there were 33 instruments that played on that album, and they played them all themselves this time.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah.
You know. And what was really, really cool, talking about bass, of course, so John Lodge, he actually played the cello on that album, and he tuned it to the same as a bass guitar. And you know what's really weird? But I love cello.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny?
It's a great sound. It's got a real richness, isn't it? It's not too bassy, but in a mix, if you're recording it, it really cuts through, and you can really place it well in the whole spectrum.
And
of
if
sound,
you've got something beautiful to say with a cello, I do believe it's one of those few instruments that really can speak in such a beautiful way.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Supertone Show with Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell of the Starlight Campbell Band.
And that was Jeff Beck, Shapes of Things, from the debut album Truth, released in August 1968 on Columbia Records UK and Epic Records in the USA. And it ended up being number 15 in the Billboard 200 charts.
That was Jeff Beck's debut album, 1968. That guy's been going like a long time.
Yeah.
And he's great then.
Amazing. Of course, he was competing, I'm afraid to say it, but with Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin, because 68, 69, that's when it was all happening. And sadly, Jeff Beck never got the sort of groove on that Led Zeppelin had, because basically the songs weren't as good. Being quite honest, I'm sorry, Jeff, but it's true. And you know, Led Zeppelin 1 went on to become massive. And this really didn't do it, you know. I mean, he's made a great living, and he's done really, really fantastic things for the guitar, Jeff Beck. And he is my favourite British guitar player of all time, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's got a little bit overindulgent recently, to tell you the truth. I think he's getting a little bit... He's become a bit of a pastiche of himself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a great player, very inventive, and I love it.
So going back to this time then, 1968, so the guy singing you know is Rod Stewart.
Indeed.
Right, and then you've got Ronnie Wood.
On bass.
Yeah, right, okay. And then you've got Mickey Waller on drums. Mm. And they were the Jeff Beck group, Jeff Beck's backing band at the time. Now, this is just so weird for my head to try and process this. So they were his backing band.
That's right.
And this album, and because Jeff Beck used to be a member of the Yardbirds, this song, Shape of Things, was actually a song by the Yardbirds.
That's right.
Because they released that song as a single in July 1966, 2 years before. So if he was in the Yardbirds as Jeff, and then 2 years later he
along
decided...
Along with Eric Clapton, of course.
Oh, God, see what I mean? What is going on with all these guys at this time? It's so confusing.
Yeah. Well, it's very incestuous because they're all playing in everybody else's band. And that was produced by Mickey Most.
Yeah. Mickey Most was on like a talent show that I remember. I didn't realise that he was such this great producer chap.
Yeah. And the engineering was done by Ken Scott. I'm reading a book by Ken Scott at the moment. And it's actually well worth a read. I actually think he's a bit of an arrogant bugger, to tell you the truth. Ken, but he comes over in a very sort of, a very bombastic way in the book. Having said that, he has recorded and engineered and later on produced and managed some great bands, you know?
Yeah.
So he's really good. And the sound of this is really great. It's got that sound. It's almost got a Beatlesque sound because, of course, he can work with the Beatles, yeah. And it's got that thing going on there.
So tell me then, where was this album recorded? 10 points.
Right, I'm going to tell you, because I know, and it was recorded at Abbey Road and Olympic. Our two favourite recording studios. Well, Olympic is my... It's pinnacle.
It is, isn't it? But also, there was another studio that Wikipedia said that it actually... being recorded at is Delane Lee Studios, which is now owned by Warner Brothers. Did you
is
know
that
about
right?
that?
I didn't know.
Well,
that.
There's this chap. This is the weird path it took me on when I was starting. I was thinking, who the heck is, you know, what is Delane Lee Studios? Major William Delane Lee was a French intelligence attaché for the British government.
No.
And he founded Delane Lee Studios in 1947 to dub English films into French.
Holy
Sacre
shit.
Bleu.
Skip the light the ceiling flew away. When we call out for another dream, the waves have brought a train. And so it was the later, as the miller told his tale. At first just go sleep, turn the wider shade off.
Wow, A Whiter Shade of Pale by Procol Harum. That was their debut single, you know, released on the 12th of May 1967. 1967, it was their biggest hit.
And played with a Hammond M102. We own one of those.
We do.
We do. And Blue Reply was recorded using one of those organs. Incredible. And I believe they used the internal speaker in that. They didn't have a Leslie or anything. If you listen to it, there's not all that rotating stuff going on. Yeah, and there we are. Amazing. You know, I love Gary Brooker. Even now, he has a fantastic voice. And I remember seeing him on Late with Jules Holland. It was a few years ago now. And they played this. And his voice, and he's not a young man now. And his voice was just as good. In fact, I think it was even better than the single. And it moved me. I was weeping like a baby. Aww. Because I love this song. I think his voice is magnificent. The whole organ, the whole feel of the track is absolutely amazing. Amazing! And there's no guitar in it. No fuzz guitar.
There's no guitar.
No. There's no guitar.
What's that about?
Well, because there's no guitar. But the thing is that he actually plays piano. He doesn't play the organ. Because the organ is played by the other dude who sued him.
Oh, that's right. Matthew Fisher.
That's right. Because he wanted some writing credit.
Too right.
Oh, that's surprising. Because what's the statistic?
I'm going to give you this now in a list.
Come on,
because I'm so glad you told me about how you love the song. Because my biggest question when I was looking into this song was, what's so amazing about it? Okay, this is what this song did at the time. It went to number one in the UK singles charts on the 8th of June. Stayed there for 6 weeks. 6 weeks at number one. Then they hardly even promoted it, and it hit number five in the Billboard pop charts in the USA. It was an anthem of the 1967 Summer of Love.
Yep.
one of the best-selling singles in history, selling over 10 million copies. It's the most played song in the last 75 years in public places in the UK. Mm. Right, now I'll talk about that. I'll kind of come back to that one. And in 2004, PPL, which is the UK Performing Rights Group, the Phonographic Performance Limited, they recognised it as the most played record by British broadcasting of the past 70 years. That was in 2004, mind. Mm. Okay.
So they're all going to be sat in a whole pile of cash.
Exactly. So if Matthew Fisher wants a cut, then they should just share, you know, because part about being human is loving and learning to share.
Absolutely.
I rest my case.
And where was it recorded?
Ah!
Olympic Studios.
I know.
Again, we're almost
what is
like
going on.
If it was still going, Olympic would be the biggest.
We'd be
fans.
There.
Yeah. Well,
we'd probably
we'd be recording
live there.
That. But it was produced by a guy called Danny Cordell, who'd worked earlier with the Moody Blues.
Yeah.
And this is before Tony Clark, because he did that first album, which was like an R&B album with the Moody Blues.
Yeah.
And it didn't do well. It had one single off it, which did very, very well, of course. Was it Go Now? Is it? And it was. I think that was it. And but written by somebody else. And he went on into the States to do other great things. You know, he worked with old JJ Cale. And
The other great things you're talking about, Danny Cordell, right? The other great things of Help with My Friends by Joe Cocker. Just saying, like, this guy did that song.
Right.
So now, and he signed JJ Cale after he worked with the Moodies and we did this song, right? And also with Procol Harum. He went over, he moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, opened Shelter Records with Leon Russell, the piano guy, signed JJ Cale,
Big
Joe
beard.
Cocker, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And he was an early mentor to Tony Visconti.
No.
Two rights.
Well,
sunshine.
That, wow.
So what is going on here?
That's incredible. You know, and the sound, though, that he got on that record is just iconic. And I think it's something about that. I don't know, it's swamped in beauty.
Well, there's something else, because just one thing, if you're talking about when you're writing a song and you try and work out what it is that really moves you about it, because you talked about the feel, and you can analyse things to death, and it really is just about the feel, isn't it? Mm. At the end of the day, it's how it engages, how it makes you feel. But they were saying it's like this Baroque structure, and I was thinking, okay, what do you mean? If I'm going to talk about this Baroque structure, what does it really mean? It means it's like a counter melody, so you have one melody going one way and there's something else happening.
Going the other way, yeah.
Yeah, and it's based on Bach's Orchestral Suite number 3 in D major. Sorry, but okay, and it's got some unusual lyrics, and you put all those into a pot and you go, let's mix
with
it all up.
With a great vocal.
With
the
a great vocal.
The killer.
But it feels, just that song for me feels like it kind of summarizes life.
Break your mama's back.
Devo, Whip It, from the third album, Freedom of Choice, and second single released from the album in August 1980, 3 months after the album was released.
Yeah, Warner Brothers didn't expect that to be a hit.
Well, you wouldn't expect it to be a hit. It's crazy shit. It's totally crazy. But Devo, I mean, that first album, you know, Are We Not Men? We Are Devo, D-V-O. It's a fantastic, that first album. And they had, like, stockings over their faces on the covers, on the cover of the album. It's a great thing. And we played, you know, I've got Space Junk to play, And then we had I Can't Get No Satisfaction, which is probably the best cover version of all time.
I love that song.
Yeah. Amazing. But this Whip It, I mean, what's it all about?
I don't know. but what was quite interesting, that was recorded at the Record Plant in LA, and it got to number 14 in the Billboard Hot 100. Only got to number 51 in the UK singles chart, though. So it was quite interesting, though, because when they had their 1979 album, Duty Now for the Future, it was considered a bit of a disappointment, which this was taken from, because it seemed a bit like it was the same formulaic repeat from their debut, Q, Are We Not Men? A, We Are Devo. And they blamed it on the album's producer, Ken Scott.
Mm.
So they brought in this guy. Now, this guy is called Robert Bob Margulef. And when you look into what he's done, you just think, your mouth just goes, what? Really?
And what has he done?
Well, he's best known for his electronic music synthesizer programming for Stevie Wonder. Yeah, so he was working with Stevie Wonder, helping develop new sounds and textures never heard before, and he had a writing partner, producing partner called Malcolm Cecil, and they played a major role in bringing synthesizers to the forefront of popular music. And he was also best mates with Robert Moog. So he was hanging out
Bob.
With... Exactly. So they were hanging out, and he was an early customer. So he's hanging out with Moog. He was a pioneer of the synthesizer world.
Now, just you need to talk about this Moog, because I believe he is called Moog.
Oh, I always say it wrong.
So do I. I've been saying it for years.
It's M-O-O-G.
And somebody said to me the other week, and sort of said, when I was talking about it, they said it's Moog.
Is that like Bath and Bath?
I think it probably is.
Moog and Moog?
I think it's a load of old shit anyway. So, because we'll call him Moog because we're in the hot stronghold of the North here. We're in the Isle of Man right now. Stronghold of the North. And we're off to a gig very shortly, actually.
we are. In Oldham at the Grange Arts Centre.
We are. Yeah, we're going to be playing there on Saturday night. And we're off to play tonight as well, so we're going to finish this show
I know
quick.
We're going to get the gig on. But also, Bob used to hang out with Andy Warhol, just so you know. So can you imagine that scene? So you've got this guy, just think about him coming in to produce Devo, and he's hanging out with Andy Warhol, and he co-produced the Chow Manhattan film, which had Edie Sedgwick in.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, and he was also an avid sailor. So you've got this guy coming in with the Devo lot and produce this most magnificent... mind-bending banana spaghetti musical wonderment.
Well, he did. And, you know, the thing is that the Americans love to take credit for stuff because I was under the impression that Kraftwerk actually started all this electronic stuff, and I think that's all we need to stop right now. Krautrock, that's where it's at. Black snake.
black snake. Black snake. Black snake.
Snake from the album In Hearing Of by Atomic Rooster. That was released in August 1971. It was their third album, and it got to number 18 in the album charts, that album, In Hearing Of.
My first album I ever bought.
I know.
I bought this, I put it on. My mum went absolutely crazy. She thought it was the devil's music.
Did
she
really?
Said it was utter
like
crap.
Crazy.
Oh yeah. She said it was utter crap. But I used to play it really loud just to annoy her because she was an annoying woman anyway and I liked to annoy her. But it was a great record. And this, I think, is one of those tracks off the album that I've never heard played on the radio. And I think it's amazing because Vincent Crane, who, in my opinion, was the greatest Hammond player that the UK has ever produced. I think he's better than Keith Emerson. I think he's better than Rod Argent. I think he's better than Rick Wakeman. Honestly. Mm-hmm. And you know why? If you listen to his timing on that and his tone, my God, it's beautiful. And the whole album. And he was with the Crazy World of Arthur Brown, wasn't he? And what a... And you know, he was... He's just got the shit. It's amazing. Amazing playing. It's subtle, you know? And I love the atmosphere. It's got a great atmosphere. He produced the record as well, you know. Great stuff. Great stuff.
I love the way you just talked about that then, because you kind of summed it all up. Because there is, honestly, there is that feeling with this song, because his vocal line's a bit broken in a way, because he After this, he got Pete. Well, he got Pete French to audition because Crane felt that he needed a singer who could project to an audience.
Yeah.
And so there are lots of lineup changes, and it's kind of unsettling for me. But just listening to that song, do you know what I really like about it? The space.
Mm.
They took time.
They did.
They didn't rush it.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they left his vocal broken, because he could have replaced it, all of the songs, with Pete French's vocals, and they didn't. They kept his vocal line on that.
I think it's fantastic. And, of course, Christian Madden, who's now playing with Liam Gallagher at Right Now, who's played on a couple of my solo albums and stuff. Great lad, Christian. But he was Vincent Crane in Atomic Rooster for a bit. Until
he got, wasn't he?
Yeah. You know? Absolutely fantastic, you know. Great.
What is it about these Hammond players, though? It's such a cool thing, you know. It's a great instrument. It's like we're playing, obviously, Christian. We play with Christian live with the Starlight Campbell Band, and also Johnny Henderson. And when we go to Australia, when we headline the Wangaratta Festival in November, we're playing with Clayton Doley.
Yeah, the mighty.
The mighty. Mm. So, I mean, Hammond, I just love that instrument. It's fantastic.
It's beautiful.
Do you know, though, we've got to finish the show off. We've got one more song. And then we've got to go out and do a gig tonight as well.
Yeah,
we're not rushing the show, by the way, because it is an hour length and it always will be. But look, if you want to stay contact with us, you can find us on Instagram, Starlight Campbell. On Twitter, we're at Suzy and Simon. That's S-U-Z-Y. And, of course, we're on Facebook.
Yeah, and the show's available on Mixcloud, Spotify, iTunes and iHeartRadio. So please tell your friends.
Now, this next band... Now, I know this album, well, I know this song, not the album. I know this song from Kill Bill. Kill Bill!
Yeah.
Volume 1.
Magnificent.
2003. It's a band called Santa Esmeralda. Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. What a song.
Yeah, by the Animals originally. Anyway.
And originally, it was written for Nina Simone, you know, and she recorded it and it didn't chart.
No.
Absolutely.
Well... It certainly did with the Animals, and I love this version. See you next week.
Problems and I've got my share.